University Broadcast Studio.
It's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. I've got to go ahead and clear something up. Something happened in the last hour of the show, and I'm getting messages over on the Facebook page. Oh, my word, Todd, do you have the corona? We heard you coughing. Do you have the corona?
Yeah, something came up. It was something coming out of your throat.
Yeah. I don't have the corona. No, you know what it is, guys? And this is horrible. So we a couple of things. Every now and again, I will sneeze or cough, and I try not to do it on the air. But in our studio, the palatial studio that we normally broadcast from, we have a little button that's called the cough button. So if you cough, you can hit the button and your cough doesn't go out over the air. But nobody wants to hear that, you know? Nobody wants to hear your, you know, hacking and coughing and, you know, wheezing on the air.
No, yeah. I agree.
So especially during the lunch hour, you know, and many people, it's lunchtime across the fruited plain. So we do our best to make sure that doesn't happen. But of course, we are in our emergency coronavirus bunker, and our studio, even though it is state of the art, does not include a cough button.
Oh, I thought it did.
No, it doesn't. We had to budget cutbacks.
So we installed a sink. Did Avery not put in the cough button?
We had the coronavirus sink with the hand sanitizer, but that was it. I mean, that's where the budget, you know, it was either that or the cough button.
Yeah.
You know, we're not Limbaugh. We're not loaded here. You know, this is a working man's radio show. So we just do what we can do. All that to say, I've been coughing up a storm because I have bad allergies and everything is blooming here in New York City.
You mean it's actually getting warm in New York?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is. It's warming up and people are wandering around. So all that to say, my apologies, and we will do our best, but I don't have the corona. So, just rest easy, America. So all is good. All right, let's get to the phone lines here. John is listening to us online at KWAM, our flagship radio station in Memphis, Tennessee. John, thanks for holding on, and what's on your mind today?
Good to talk with you again, my brother Patriot.
Thank you, likewise.
I don't know if you've heard any. Pardon me?
Go right ahead.
Oh, okay. I don't know if you've heard anything, but I've talked to quite a few of my friends in North Carolina that have talked to other people, and it seems like a lot of people have started taking cash out of their bank, and they're putting in their gun safe and other safes in their homes because they're kind of worried about just how far everything will go, how bad it'll get, and they're worried that the banks might shut down and they can't get any cash. Have you heard anything about that?
Is that right? No, this is the first time hearing of this, John. I know folks are going to the gun stores and stocking up on ammo and, of course, the supermarket situation. But this is the first I've heard. So you're telling me that people are literally withdrawing money from their bank accounts?
Yes. Yeah. I've heard quite a few. And friends that I've talked to, I've heard quite a few people that are doing it. They don't want to take a chance. You know, things getting worse and not being able to get any cash out. I can understand that.
I'm going to ask Caleb. I had asked Caleb to pull some audio from Walmart. Caleb, just hop on the air here for a second. Do we have that video, that audio ready?
We do indeed.
Okay. Hey, I'm just curious about something, John, and we'll open this question up for the whole audience as well. I've been wondering, what's been happening in local towns and communities. Walmart has been broadcasting something over their surveillance systems in their parking lot. It is super creepy, but I want you guys to listen to what one of our listeners sent us. This is actual audio from a Walmart parking lot.
Please remember to wash your hands often, stay home if you are sick, and practice good social separation of at least 6 feet when possible. Loitering inside or outside of the store is strictly prohibited. Thank you for choosing Walmart.
John, anything like that happening in your town?
I'm going to Walmart Tuesday morning because it's from 6 to 7. Senior citizens can go. and I'll see if that's happening there. If it is, I'll call you next week and tell you.
Please do. John, thank you. Look, we've got a skedaddle here, but I appreciate you calling in. Folks, we'd like to hear from you. 844-747-8868 is our number. That's 844-747-8868. All right, folks, let's get right to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Very honored to have HHS Secretary Alex Azar with us. Mr. Secretary, an honor to have you on the show today.
Todd, I'm delighted to be with you and your listeners. Thanks for having me.
So a lot going on here, and we've got a lot of fake news that I want to get through so you can respond to some of these stories out there in the mainstream media. But first, if you could give us an update on what's happening with the search for a vaccine. And we understand that thousands of New Yorkers are actually being treated with the hydroxychloroquine drug, which has been touted by the president, a lot of other folks, as a potential lifesaver.
Yeah, so Todd, we're moving very aggressively to try to get both therapeutics and vaccines to deal with the novel coronavirus. So you asked first about vaccines. There are several candidate vaccines out there. One of them developed here at HHS within 3 days after getting the Chinese genetic sequence. That's now in human testing in record time within about 8 weeks of the development of the vaccine. We are actually administering that to individuals in clinical trials. And so we'll have to see what the data show on that. Vaccines take longer because, of course, you're taking a person who's not infected and you're putting something in their body. And so you have to be very careful with that to make sure that your vaccine doesn't actually provoke a worse response to either the disease or give the person a disease. So we're doing clinical trials on that as well as a whole host of other vaccine candidates. You mentioned hydroxychloroquine. So that's a possible therapeutic which could potentially mitigate the impact of coronavirus on individuals. And President Trump, being the right-to-try president, has made sure that that product is available and legally can be used by doctors subject to their best judgment working with patients to see if it might work on individuals who have COVID-19. It is an approved product. So unlike so many of the other ones that we are investigating, hydroxychloroquine has been around for decades, approved by the FDA for the treatment of, for the prevention of malaria. There have been some studies around the world that that show the possibility of a positive impact, and that's now that product's available in the U.S. We call it off-label prescribing. Doctors have the freedom with any product that's approved to use it as they see fit in consultation with their patients, and that's what the president's enabling. We're gathering data on the use of it to see.
So, Mr. Secretary, let me jump in here. If that is in fact the case, why is it that you have such resistance from the mainstream media? CNN out there yesterday, especially at yesterday's briefing, was really pushing back. You have a state lawmaker out in Ohio who wants to have the president brought up on charges of crimes against humanity for suggesting this. Why the pushback?
I really don't understand it. Again, with any product being, any medical product being used off-label, that's something that a doctor has to think long and hard about and has to talk to their patient about. But we don't regulate it that at the federal level. My goodness, the largest percent of oncology products in the United States are actually used by doctors off-label. They're used for they're used in a way or for a purpose that's not strictly indicated by the label that FDA has approved as safe and effective. So this is not unusual in the United States, but the only caution is doctors and patients need to go in with their eyes open. It doesn't have the FDA's gold label seal of approval that it's proven safe and effective for a particular disease, but it's quite common to use off-label medicines in our country. I don't know why there's such blowback at the president just making clear what is already the case, that doctors have the freedom to do this.
And of course, going back, you know, we were talking about this earlier in our show about the polio vaccine and those field trials that were done back in 1954, where they actually used hundreds of thousands of children to test the vaccine.
Sure. And the polio vaccine back then, what that would have been is actually testing an unapproved drug. So that's an unapproved vaccine. You don't know if it even would work. You don't know if it's safe. And you've tested it in individuals who consent to see if it will work on them. This is actually quite different in that this is an approved drug that's being used by doctors subject to their discretion. It's not approved for this purpose. And we want to gather data. And we've set up a website that Oracle has created and volunteered called COVID-19.org. oracle.com, where we ask doctors to submit any data that they collect on use of unapproved therapies so that we can get the best evidence base out there. But this actually is an approved drug. It's being used differently. It's a higher dose. And so, again, patients and doctors need to have a serious discussion about their health care, their conditions, what they're facing COVID, not from COVID-19, but also what their underlying health conditions are to get a judgment about whether they think it's safe and appropriate under all circumstances.
You know, Mr. Secretary, it seems to me that you have, you know, CNN really leading the charge here against the drug and the trials. And it just seems to me that they're the ones that may be putting people in unnecessarily in harm's way as a result of their constant blowback and pushback against the president of the administration here.
Well, I just don't understand it. I get to see it firsthand. I think if President Trump says the sky is blue, they're going to say it's indigo, just to be different. I can't explain it. The president's simply making clear what has always been the case, which is that doctors have the right to try approved medicines on their patients and to see what works under individual circumstances.
Real quick, CNN report out today. They say there was a heated disagreement in the Situation Room over the weekend regarding hydroxychloroquine. You're a member of the panel. Were you there? And was there a heated disagreement, as they're reporting?
Well, I don't think it's appropriate to talk about our internal deliberations and discussions at the senior levels of government.
Somebody is.
Well, they do indeed, unfortunately, but not me. Let me just say, it is perfectly appropriate, and what makes a strong administration is the ability to actually have disagreements, especially about science and evidence. And it's really important that we have that's why it's not good to leak information or disclose it, because we ought to be able to have debates in front of the president or the vice president, and so that they can really hear all sides of an issue. I always strive to make sure that the president hears many sides of an issue. So he's the one who got elected, not me, so that he can make the tough calls and hear all viewpoints. And so we shouldn't be surprised if there is internal debate and disagreement. We should actually commend the fact that it's a president that permits disagreement.
I'm with you. I think that makes President Trump look even more like a leader, that he does welcome, you know, those kinds of debates. One final thing, the Washington Post reporting Saturday that the president dismissed warnings from you about the threat posed by the coronavirus, said it was alarmist. I want to give you a chance to respond to the reporting of the Washington Post.
Well, just not accurate. The president and I have, there's no air between us, never has been, and I've kept him in the loop as this disease has progressed. I have always had access to him, as I have in my over 2 years tenure. If I need to call him, I rarely have to wait more than 2 minutes to either get him on the phone or have him call back. He's completely engaged, completely connected. And I've been giving my advice throughout this process, and he's been hearing from, and I've made sure that our public health experts here are able to talk to him directly. I've always made sure that he's hearing from all sides, as I said before, just to make sure he's getting the best advice possible so he can make the really difficult calls to lead us through this really unprecedented situation. You know, there's not a playbook for something like this. The president, the vice president, they've got to make unprecedented, difficult decisions here, because this is a virus for which we don't have therapeutics, as we talked about. We don't have proven vaccines. This spreads rapidly. It increasingly seems to spread more by asymptomatic transmission. So it's quite different even than, say, the flu or pandemic flu. And the president, the vice president are leading us through that, making the difficult calls every day. And I respect them for that. And I'm privileged to be able to provide my advice.
All right. Well said. And again, we know those folks and what they do over with places like CNN, the Post. So you guys hang in there. And I think the entire team up at the White House doing a terrific job as best they can under these circumstances. Mr. Secretary, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
All right, welcome back. to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us on this Monday. It's a beautiful day here in New York City, and I hope it's a beautiful day wherever you are. I'm just curious, are you guys getting the same mixed messages about all of this that I'm getting? You know, they're telling us on the one hand, this is going to be America's Pearl Harbor and 9/11. On the other hand, they're telling us that they don't believe that the death rates are going to be as high as they thought. And I agree, every single death is a tragedy here. But they were telling us that 250,000 of our fellow citizens were going to drop dead from this virus. A quarter of a million people. Our cities and our towns, our states have been shut down for almost a month now. And for what? To be honest with you, for what? And I'm wondering, at what point do you say, Todd, we've got to get back to work? Are you one of those people that says, we've got to reopen the economy? We've got to get back to it. We've got to reopen our diners and our restaurants and our department stores and our garages, and we've got to start building the buildings again. Are you one of those people that says, you know what, we've got to get going here? Because I'm telling you, folks, it's a little confusing following all of this. And I'm not too sure about, wow, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but I'm going to say it. Does Dr. Fauci understand that he is not the president of the United States? Does he understand that? Not in front of the cameras, but I'm wondering behind the scenes, have they pulled him aside at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and said, you know, Dr. Fauci, look, we appreciate your work here, but you're not the leader of the free world. That job is held by Donald J. Trump. I'm just wondering. Cut number two, please.
And have had the opportunity and the privilege and the pleasure of serving in five administrations, I thought I would bring that perspective to the topic today, is the issue of pandemic preparedness. And if there's one message that I want to leave with you today based on my experience, and you'll see that in a moment, is that there is no question that there will be a challenge to the coming administration in the arena of infectious diseases, both chronic infectious diseases in the sense of already ongoing disease, and we have certainly a large burden of that, but also there will be a surprise outbreak. There will be a surprise outbreak. There will be a surprise outbreak. And I hope
stop right there. So that was Dr. Fauci back in 2017 saying that there was no doubt in his mind that there would be a surprise outbreak of some sort of a disease during the Trump administration. Now, do you believe in coincidence, ladies and gentlemen? Do you? Because, I mean, that's pretty prophetic right there. That back in 2017, this guy predicted, Dr. Fauci, the man who, quite frankly, is probably responsible for the government shutting down from coast to coast, border to porous border. Do you find that to be interesting that he just out of the blue said that there is going to be a surprise outbreak of some infectious disease during the Trump administration? You say, Tom, what are you getting at? Well, I'm not getting at anything. I'm just asking, do you think it's coincidental? Do you really think that this was just, wow, surprise? Because my question is, if you thought it was going to happen, why weren't you guys prepared? Just want to throw that out there. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
If you got sick?
Would I take it if I got sick?
Would you take it, knowing what you know now?
No, I would listen to my doctor about whether or not
that's
I should
exactly
take it if
what
I got
you
sick.
Do.
I would consult
that's
my
exactly
doctor.
What you should
I would
do.
Not consult someone involved with trade policy.
We're taking
I would not consult with someone with trade policy,
I agree.
And my question, do
I'm
you
not
want
prescribing
a doctor?
Anything.
Do you want a medical
I'm
doctor, an internist?
Anything,
do you want an internist striking trade deals with Asian
Touché.
Countries?
Well, no, but that's my point.
But you're setting up a false narrative
here. I swear to God, I'm not. You had a debate inside the Situation Room with the nation's top infectious disease doctor, the man who was in charge, to a certain extent, of the nation's medical response to this. And all he said, he wants this to work. Everyone wants this to work. All he has said is, let's let the testing and the science decide. What you seem to be saying is, I've read a study out of Wuhan, and I've decided.
That's so unfair, John.
All right, so that was a big dust-up this morning on CNN, the most profane name in news. John Berman. Nobody watches this show, by the way. Nobody. I mean, who wants to wake up to John Berman and Allison Camerota? By the way, I knew her back. We used to work together at Fox News. And I'm telling you, I knew from day one that she was a lefty. I mean, she fits right in over at CNN, the most profane name in news. But it's weird how you can figure that out. But I think if you are a conservative, there's some sort of a radar inside of you. You know what I'm talking about? And you can kind of pretty much pick up on who's the real deal and who's not. By the way, I want to thank one of our, just a slight aside here, Brian Mack over on our Facebook live stream just sent us some video from Delaware. We have a lot of listeners in that area of the country. It looks like on the interstate there, the main highway, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, Millsboro, Delaware, we're getting some reports that that they've set up roadblocks. So they're checking people. And we have the video. We're posting this right now on the live show blog. And Avery, you can just turn on your microphone whenever we get that ready and let folks know. But they are searching out-of-state vehicles without consent. And this is happening right now.
Oh, yeah.
Right now.
Yeah. And it is already posted. I'm actually currently watching it right now just so I could be familiarizing myself with this. And, yeah, this is bad. Like, that's really all I can say. This is bad. It's like an entire police escort, like the entire police station in this small town or wherever it is. I don't know if this is a small town, big town, whatever. But there's a lot more police cars out on this major highway than there should be.
Now, just to give you guys, because Avery and Caleb, you guys are in Georgia, and so everybody in Georgia pretty much goes down to the panhandle or off to, Savannah, wherever, to or Hilton Head.
We fly south for the winter.
So you fly south.
For the summer, I mean.
Okay, so the Redneck Riviera is what I'm trying to get at, down at the Panhandle. So this is sort of like the Redneck Riviera for Delaware. It's like Rehoboth Beach and all that area. Very popular. A lot of the boardwalks and all that kind of whatnot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that sort of stuff. Okay.
So that's what's going on.
It's just ridiculous. There's so many police cars on that highway. And I think from what I've seen on the video, it looks like it's like a 4-lane highway. And now it's been turned into a 1-lane highway.
There's a little bit of a dust up here in Georgia over beaches because there were some local ordinances in Tybee Island that had the beaches in Tybee Island closed when Governor Brian Kemp put the stay-at-home order in. His order allowed people to go to the beaches so long as they maintained social distancing. Yep. And so there's been a dust up between Kemp and the mayor of Tybee Island, who wants the beaches closed, and Kemp, who wants them open so people can go for a jog down the beach. It's crazy. The stuff that we're getting in arguments about is absurd.
Oh, that reminds me. Speaking of going for a walk, because that's the problem here. They want literally everybody to be locked inside their homes, and people are not doing that here in New York City. People are out and about, and so now the NYPD, the police department, they put up the drones. You know, these drones that they're flying over the parks, and I believe, Caleb, let's play. This is actual audio that we've obtained from somebody just walking through the park, and the next thing you know, there's a drone hovering overhead, and this is what it sounded like.
The anti-COVID-19 volunteer drone task force. Please maintain a social distance of at least 6 feet. Again, please maintain social distancing. Please help stop the spread of this virus, reduce the death toll, and save lives. For your own safety and your family's safety, please maintain social
distancing. Oh my God, it's hard to pick up here, but the drone, and we've got the video on the live show blog. Avery doing a great job with the blog today.
Thank you.
We've got the video of the drone just hovering over, I believe that was the East River. This was on the New York City side, and then across the river you have Brooklyn and Queens.
Buzz Lightyear to Star Command. Come in, Star Command.
That's what the drone. The anti-COVID-19.
That's all it sounds like.
Drone task force.
Gosh, man.
I got to tell you, fellas, I don't mean to stereotype here, but if this had happened back in my hometown of Memphis, Tennessee, and all you people listening to us on KWAM know exactly what I'm talking about.
I already know what you're going to say.
Somebody would have shot the drone.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody would have shot the drone.
It would have been blown out of the sky.
Pull.
Yeah.
And people would have applauded. We just don't put up with that kind of nonsense back below the Mason-Dixon line. But to your point, guys, I mean, it's sort of is it starting to feel like a police state?
I haven't felt that locally because things are still pretty tame here in Georgia. All things good, we haven't had drones flying around, we haven't had roadblocks,
yeah,
we haven't had anything too crazy yet. So here locally, it still feels kind of calm. But it, I mean, some of the stuff that you know, like that drone there. That Walmart speaker that a listener sent in. Some of the stuff going on in other places around the country is really almost surreal to look at.
Yeah, and because also what Kemp put out, like Caleb was saying earlier, everything that he put out is what, at least me personally, and I'm pretty sure everyone here at WDUN, we've already been practicing what Brian Kemp put out in his official ordinance. And so, I mean, so nothing really has changed, and yeah, there hasn't been like a police state feeling.
So this guy, and so we're sort of like live tweeting this as he's sending all this info. He says this video is from a friend who is literally on the road right now, and he said that he's had to go through the checkpoints just to get to and from work. You know, and they're checking for out-of-state license plates.
Oh my gosh!
What if you work across state lines?
Yeah, that's very common.
It's a fair question. And now, you know, I've been getting a lot of hate mail lately, guys. And you know, typically, and we have new listeners in Little Rock, and they may be surprised to know that we get a lot of death threats on this radio show. I have no idea why.
Mainly in the last couple of weeks.
In the last couple of weeks.
And I say this only because we've been asking the questions the mainstream media will not ask. And I think these are important questions. So the average person, now let's just step back for a second here, fellas. I think with the average American, they're looking at the mixed messages coming from the medical experts and from the government. And people are trying to understand, look, how serious is this? You know, you have tens of thousands of people every year who die from the flu. You have millions and millions of people infected with the flu. And we do not shut down the government. We do not shut down our local businesses. We do not shut down the schools. They're telling us that well over 98% of the people who have coronavirus, who have the COVID-19, survive and go on to live very healthy, happy lives. And then there's a report out over the weekend from the CDC that says, you know what, if someone dies and you think they have coronavirus, well, go ahead and mark that down as the cause of death. I mean, this is not made up. This was, we've shared this on our website and social media pages. And so now everyone who dies in America dies from the coronavirus. There's no other cause of death in America now.
Well, if you had died about an hour ago when you were having your coughing fit, then we would have had to potentially classify
just COVID-19. Wait for a second.
COVID-19. You're driving, God forbid, you're driving down Interstate 75 or I-40 and you get into a car accident and you die. They're going to put the cause of death, coronavirus.
A cough that disturbed his steering patterns and he crashed.
And the problem here, guys, is that we're looking at a very serious problem, no doubt.
Oh yeah, for sure, no doubt.
But is this really the apocalypse? Are you telling us that every year, because now they're telling us it could be seasonal, and you've got President Fauci out there suggesting that we need to shut down the country for I don't know, maybe up to a year. At what point do you step back and say, hey, hold up a second. Can we put aside the fear-mongering and the rumor and the innuendo, and can we just talk about what's really going on here? And I just want to be very clear. If there are hospitals in New York City that do not have the supplies and the equipment they need, that is a problem, and that has to be rectified. That's unacceptable. If, in fact, there are no hospital beds available in New York City, that is a horrible thing that has to be rectified immediately. But the question is, do they have enough beds? And we're getting mixed messages all over the place on very simple questions. And so at some point, you just have to wonder what is really going on. But man, you just point that out. You mention anything that goes against the mainstream media's narrative of this apocalyptic reality TV series that they're producing in real time on our cable channels. And I'm talking about all the cable channels. And all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose. So I got to read this to you. This is coming from a guy named Jeff Town. And, you know, I just this hate mail we get on Facebook is just it's brutal. This guy's from Oregon. So I immediately question whether or not he was a fan originally. Here's what he wrote. Goodbye, Todd. I'm sorry. Let me try that again. Goodbye, Todd. I followed you all this time because of your moral backbone. Now you've turned into a typical fake media alarmist sensationalist. You make fun of all the enforcement, etc. These are times haven't been seen in years, and everyone is scrambling to keep people safe no matter what. Things will be back to normal soon, so why don't you get back to talking about faith, about Jesus?
Were there any misspellings in that? Because I've noticed these death threats tend to feature misspellings.
It's I don't know what this is really all about, but I can tell you that by and large, the people who are sending us the death threats did not do well in English class.
Yeah. I've read a couple of them, and they're very, like, again, listeners, this is no joke what Todd's talking about, but it's some of the spelling and some of the scenarios that have been given are very strange. Very strange. I mean, To this point, I'm ignoring the fact it's a death threat. I'm just like, why did you say this? Why did you give this specific example? I'm very confused. Todd, I'm specifically talking about the one about the horse, if you remember that one.
Oh, fornicating with the horse. Yes,
yeah,
I do,
like,
remember that.
Yes. What? Yes. What kind of death threat is that?
And biologically, it's impossible.
But, it is. Yeah.
All that to say, I just, you know, it is what it is. And folks, if you have a problem with what I say, then you're more than welcome to go listen to somebody else. You know, I'm sure you guys have, National Public Welfare Radio in your neighborhood, you know. But again, I'm just throwing out questions. That's all. And if you do, and I have seen this play out over social media, anybody who asks questions that call into doubt some of the stuff coming out of the mainstream media, especially among death totals and things of that nature, they'll try to destroy you. The good news here is, folks, so we don't play that game, and we're just going to keep at it, and we're going to be asking the questions that you guys want us to ask. Oh, got to take a break. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
So our good friend Harry Hurley, we've had Harry on the show quite a bit, WPG, that's our affiliate in Atlantic City, New Jersey. He's got a great story up ShopRite, which is sort of like their version of Kroger in that part of the country. ShopRite will now start taking the temperature of all employees. So if you work at ShopRite, you come in, before you clock in, they're going to take your temperature. They're also going to have a guard and or an EMT at all of their locations in the Atlantic City area. All employees as well as vendors will have to be screened. You know, it's not going to be long before they start doing that. And again, this goes back to the Federal Reserve guy from St. Louis. We told you about that earlier. That guy every person has to be tested every day, and you have to wear a badge, just like they did in 1930s Germany. All right, let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868, Morehead City, North Carolina. James, listening to us on the talk station. Hi, James, what's going on there?
Well, we have a small city outside of Moorhead, has three entrances besides the ocean front, two of which are barricaded off with concrete dividers, whatever you choose to call them, that you would see in between mediums. And they're supposed to be checking IDs. I haven't gone into the city lately and don't plan on it if I don't have to. And basically, my question is to them is, what happens if we really have an emergency? Are they going to move those barriers so we can get everybody out of the city all at one time, because they now only have one place to go and one entrance in and one entrance out?
James, and tell me the name of the city that's been barricaded.
Beaufort.
Oh, I know that. That's a beautiful town. I know that area well, and you're right. There aren't many ways in and out of that that community.
Unless you are on a boat. Unless you're on a boat, the only way in and out are those three roads.
Have they given any rationale for why they blockaded the town?
The rationale has boiled down to is we're trying to keep everybody out except for the people from our county, Carteret County.
I see. Has there been much blowback over that?
I don't know. Other than it just seemed rather stupid the way they've gone about it.
That is weird, because you guys, how far away from the state line are you guys?
That's about midway from both state lines.
So it's not like you're right there on the state line. So,
nope.
James, look, I appreciate you sharing that information with us. We're up against a break here. So thank you for calling in, and keep us posted. And I'm really curious about you folks in Arkansas, because there's a report coming out that they're doing checkpoints along the Louisiana-Texas border. Of course, New Orleans, probably one of the top hotspots now. So they're literally checking people at the border there in along the Texas-Louisiana border. What about Arkansas? Are you guys hearing of similar reports, because you guys share a border with Louisiana as well? That's the Arklatex, as they call it. Give us a call, 844-747-8868, toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. ToddStarnes.com is the website, folks. We'll be right back.